Yes, everybody knows that getting out there exercising is good for you. Keep moving, maintain a level of fitness, and there are all sorts of benefits that will accrue to you, body and mind. But you'll know as well as I do that it's not all good. You can be put off course by an injury, because the chances are if you exercise, you'll get injured. Maybe just a niggle, maybe something more serious. This is the second part of the Life Matters series, Exercise and Injuries. Hello, I'm fine. I'm Amanda. I'm here to see Tam.
Awesome. Just grab a seat, Amanda. Have you seen her before?
Yeah.
Awesome, no problem. Just grab a seat. You have to be out soon.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm at the physio. Over years of yoga, I've developed a troublesome and very painful shoulder. It stopped me doing yoga altogether, and I've seen various health professionals about it, without much improvement, I have to say. In this episode, what are the questions you should be asking when you visit a therapist? Also, does warming up before you exercise help with injuries? And what about stretching? Hi, Tam. Tam Pham is a physiotherapist.
How's your shoulder going?
It's okay. Yeah, it's a little bit better.
Good.
So, Amanda, just from having a look at it, there seems to be a bit of compression in your shoulder joint at the moment. And there's a history of bursitis in the past, as you've noticed, and that's quite reflective from our assessment today. So what we've done is we're trying to improve your posture just to deload some of the compression through your shoulder joint, and that will help ease your pain and symptoms.
Tam, like the other physios and osteos I've seen, is confident that my shoulder will get better, but I'm not so sure. Maybe I just have to accept that the damage is permanent and work around it. I asked Claudia, who's got a dodgy knee from a skiing accident, if she's starting to feel the same.
I'm trying really hard not to. My physio said, don't give in to that kind of thinking. So I'm not, and certainly other people who've had more serious knee injuries keep telling me it does take time, but it's very frustrating. I take 10,000 steps a day on good days, and every step I'm thinking about, is it better, is it worse?
Wow.
That's a lot of thoughts about my knee, isn't it?
Do you feel that across the range of health professionals that you've consulted about your knee, do you feel that you know what questions to ask them?
You know, the basic question is, what should I do and how can I get better? But beyond that, I don't really know. I guess I ask basic questions and probably don't get the answers that I want.
Andrew Jowett is the chairman of Sports Medicine Australia and a sport and exercise physician. You, as a physician, ask questions as part of your diagnosis, if I was seeing you for some injury I had. But what are the sorts of questions that would be useful for me to know to ask you? Sometimes I feel like I don't know the questions to ask.
No, that's very important and helps us. And sometimes it's really hard for patients to actually remember the questions at the time as well. So I'd encourage you to write them down and bring them to the consultation. Nowadays, lots of people have asked those questions from Dr. Google before they come to me. So, you know, bring those questions as well, and we're happy to deal with those. I think you need to think about, you know, why did this happen? Because I'm going to ask those questions. I want you to think about it as well. What's changed in your life? Was there an acute injury? Okay, if it was an episode. What do I remember about that episode? What were the forces involved, the circumstances? Or if it's a chronic injury, have you suddenly decided you're going to train for the marathon, upped your training or something like that? So think about why it happened. And then when you come to me, you know, ask me those questions. Why did it happen? How do I stop it happening again? Ask me what pain means. Ask me to show me the evidence about the treatment I'm going to apply. Ask what activity you can do, not what activity you can't do. I'm interested in people remaining active. We might have to modify your activity, but we can help you with that. You know, I'm all about empowering the patients to help themselves. And that's the way I'd rather think. Not what can you do for me, doctor? You know, what can I do to help it? How do I monitor my progress? How do I assess how I'm going? What's the best way? How do I know I'm improving? How do I know when to increase my exercise? A big one, do I really need a scan? I mean, we do enormous amounts of radiology these days. Patients come to me expecting a scan. Do you really need it? Will it make you worse? And potentially it might. It might lead us down a path of surgical or other interventions that we don't need to go down. So do you really need a scan? And will it change anything? They're the sort of questions I'd like my patients to actually ask and be actively involved in the whole process.
For Beck, who developed a problem with her hip from her gym program, it's knowing what questions to ask at the gym.
I think the problem is when you're trying to get an exercise program, that's always really been tricky for me to know what I want to ask for from an exercise specialist in terms of making my routine, because they always say to you, what kind of exercises do you like?
What are your goals?
Yeah, what are your goals? But my experience has been they never know how to tailor an exercise program to someone who really is starting from having no exercise background. And they seem to always give you these, because I've had exercise programs in the past where I've hurt my back as soon as I start, and that's really discouraged me.
How much is it also about understanding your own body better? You know, is it the exercise itself or the way you're doing it that causes the injury? Maybe because you bring all your habitual but potentially damaging ways of moving and holding yourself to the task. Kazimierz Krzyzowskis has studied the Alexander Technique. This is a system of body awareness training, and he applies it to his fitness regime, running and going to the gym.
Love the gym, yep.
How do the two fit together for you?
Through doing Alexander Technique lessons, I've become aware of patterns of movement, of muscle recruitment and things like that that aren't so good for me. And when I go to the gym, it's just a question of applying that to the exercises that I do. So I've always managed to avoid injury. So to give you a really concrete example, when I'm jogging, I know I can have a bit of a tendency to overfocus and to kind of tense my body in a way that doesn't help my running at all. So my neck will pull down and my head will come towards my shoulders. And through knowing Alexander Technique, I can just stop doing that and move in a way which is more open and expansive.
What about, say, with weights?
Mm-hmm. So, for example, if I'm doing shoulder exercises where I'm lifting the dumbbells in front of me, I know that I can arch my back unnecessarily, which isn't the part of my body that I'm looking to exercise. So through knowing that that's my habit and telling myself not to do it and to do something else instead, I can do that exercise more efficiently. I guess for me, one of the things that Alexander Technique's done is taught me how to bring my brain as well as my body into the gym.
You must see people all the time who are doing all sorts of things to themselves as they lift weights and so on that is probably not helpful, if not potentially harmful.
Yeah, definitely. Look, when I was first having Alexander Technique lessons, when I first went to the gym, I was kind of actually amazed at how much people misuse their bodies through, you know, stressing and straining and trying to lift weights, which are possibly too heavy for them. So, yeah, I guess I did have to bite my tongue when I was seeing that, but now I guess I'm just kind of used to it.
So how should you think about how you go about exercising? I don't actually mean you. I mean me or
just
anyone.
In general.
Yeah.
One of the main things is looking at what your neck, head and back are doing when you're doing any exercise. If they're all unnecessarily tensed up, the chances are the rest of your body isn't going to be working that efficiently. I think sometimes people are so carried away with doing these exercises, with lifting these weights, they're not actually really engaged in the process of how they're doing that. So I think sometimes just by actually being a bit more in the moment, looking at what you're doing, thinking about what you're doing, you can do things better, more easily.
Whether your way of exercising is in a class or one-on-one with a trainer or on your own, how important is it for injury prevention to warm up first?
Well, I actually wanted to start with Alan.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, right. Spider crawl.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Thanks.
Jared Boyle is a personal trainer.
So this is an exercise called a reverse spider crawl. And I think this is one of the best warm-ups you can possibly do, because it's switching you on in relation to your core in relation to your extremities. It's a very difficult movement to coordinate and it's quite stressful. Yeah? So as far as getting someone going in the space of 2-3 minutes, this is going to hit everything.
It's not very graceful.
Depends who's doing it.
As well as warming up, what about stretching?
Stretch 2, hold
2. Slowly lower.
Views have changed about stretching. Sport and exercise physician Andrew Jowett.
Hold.
Yeah, definitely. That's something that's recently evolved quite rapidly. I think most people recognise the days of static stretching are now gone. Nowadays, a warm-up is really a lower intensity version of what you're about to undertake, and that makes common sense. You don't want to do something at 100% effort that you haven't done prior to that, at perhaps 70% effort. And you can imagine that's fairly simple to expect. You might get an injury out of that. So certainly a lower intensity replication of what you're about to do is sensible. And that probably is best understood as a neuromuscular type warm-up. We're warming up the nervous system as well as the muscles. So we're getting the brain to pass the right message to the muscles to do the right movement coordinated in the right way.
So warming up is very important.
Vanessa Rice is an exercise physiologist.
So that gradually increasing body temperature, increasing your heart rate, getting a little bit of sweat up. So we do that slow and we increase our speed of warm up.
What's your view on stretching before exercise as far as injury prevention?
That's an interesting one because we can see in the research that if we stretch before exercise, that you actually lose some strength and power in your muscles. Now, they do talk about an active stretch rather than a static stretch, that sit down, you know, lean forward, hold type stretch. So that's static. So there is an active stretch where we actually move our joints through the range of motion after we're warmed up, that will also increase our ability to be active, but minimize the risk of injury. Now, where stretching sits in, very importantly, to reduce the risk of injury, is after exercise. And what you see the average exerciser do is they do their exercise and they walk away and they don't sit down and stretch. And that's where that static stretching comes in, is to lengthen those muscles back to their normal length. And that will also reduce the risk of injury.
Okay, hip roll. Left leg straight, right leg bent. And roll out and over and out and over and out and over and one and
In the next edition of this series about exercise and injuries, core strength. Everyone talks about core strength these days, but how important is it for helping prevent injuries? Also, when it comes to getting treatment for an injury, is there much of a difference between a physiotherapist and an osteopath? And what role should a fitness trainer take in helping you minimise or manage injuries?
Right leg straight, left leg bent, and out and over, and out and over.
And out and over, and yes, core strength. Is it really as important as everyone says it is? That's in part 3 of Exercise and Injuries next week at this time here in Life Matters. It's Amanda Smith with you on RN, on air, online, and via your ABC Radio app.
This Is About is a podcast hosted by Jordan Raskopoulos. That's me. Stories told by those who live them.
To do a good job, you kind of have to believe that you're Spider-Man.
He was holding what he claimed was Ned Kelly's skull.
She just said to me, if you can't have this baby, I'll have a baby for you.
What I thought was two different dolphins was just one shark.
What?
This Is About on the ABC Radio app or wherever you get your favourite podcasts.
Listen now.
On your phone.
You know, just do the thumb thing.